Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long. We have on with us on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network. Blake, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Mike. What's going on?
All right, bud. Let's get to the good news first with LSU. Over the weekend, they were able to pick up Derek Meadows, big, tall, drink of water wide receiver from Bishop Gorman High School out in Las Vegas. And he chose LSU over Alabama and Notre Dame. So, and he had a lot of other schools after him, too. In the past, LSU's kind of waned a little bit. Sometimes they went, depending on what's available, they went for the bigger group of receivers. You can't get too much bigger than Derek. I'm not sure he's 6'6", but he's certainly in that 6'4.5", 6'5" range. He gives you a big target downfield, heavily recruited wide out, and this wide receiver university. And it's the flip card of LSU today.
Yeah, Mike, really massive pickup, which would, I guess, whatever service you look at, I mean, getting yourself your fourth, fifth star of this class. And, Mike, I think, you know, even in just an oversight of this, the last time that you had 10 prospects in the top 100 that signed, okay, was, if I'm not mistaken, 2002. Okay, you had others that were just outside the top 100, but right now committed, you had 10 in the top 100. That is ridiculous. Well, about Meadows, for me, I think, Mike, it's just like DeCorian Moore decommits, and then you go and identify a kid that you really want. And look, I don't know if he's in this Brian Thomas type of mold. I don't know if he's that athletic as Brian Thomas was. But like you mentioned, Mike, he might not be 6'6", but BTJ was 6'4.5", 6'5"-ish, you know, depending on whoever you talk about or whatever day he woke up. I mean, you've seen him use special talented guys that have that type of length and develop them. So I think Cortez has done a really good job of Mike not only being a good recruiter and maybe even borderline great. He had four top 60 picks in the NFL draft of guys that he either recruited or developed in Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, Ladd McConkey, and A.D. Mitchell.
Yep.
I mean, Mike, at some point you got to put your foot down and say, okay, well, Cortez Hankton's been doing some really good stuff here, not just at LSU, but even identified and developing in Georgia, too.
Yeah, Blake, it was so funny you brought that up. I got to talk to Kyron Lacy Friday at the pro football camp, and the first thing I asked him about was, you know, his development. He's like, man, talk to Cortez. You know, so he was like, hey, you know him. You go talk to Cortez. Yeah, you know the family and everything, so go talk to him. But he was right about it, and what you just brought up is correct. I think it gets overlooked because the quarterback position has sort of tsunamied everything today. And what's happened there with Joe Burrow and then Jaden and now with Garrett. But, man, look what Hankton's done with the receiving core. Now, I'll use an old coaching line. You're a lot smarter coach when you got really good talent. But you got to be able to develop that talent from the high school ranks into the colleges. And what you just brought up about the four guys that got picked so early in the April draft, he had a hand in developing all four, and now he's got his hands in developing Kyron Lacy.
Well, Mike, I mean, I don't know how you can't look at Kyron Lacy and Brian Thomas and say – just in and of itself. I think people knew that Malik had special abilities.
Yes, yes.
Right? Like coming out. So that's like, if I would have came on your show a year ago today and been like, hey, Mike, there's this kid Malik Nabers that might be really good. Okay. You know, like, but Mike, we're talking about Brian Thomas Jr., who had the same amount of touchdowns against Ole Miss and Alabama that he did in his career going into this part of last year. So, I mean, I agree. Cortez is getting overshadowed in a lot of ways of what he's identified and then brought in. And, Mike, they're not done there. You know, like, I think Kalik Lockett and Jamie French, two other five-star wide receivers, are looking at this and saying, hey, man, there's an opportunity here. Mike, you could have talked to anybody in the recruiting services about a month ago. Jamie French out of Florida was going to Texas, right? Like a lot for Texas. And now all of a sudden, you know, here comes Cortez Hankins. Mike, I said this the entire spring. Go watch any show that we did live. There was no unit on this football team, none, zero, zilch, that was more competitive than that wide receiver room during spring football. Not even remotely close. And I think it's because guys are trying to be that next dude, which is breeding competition. And, Mike, you have a guy that's been in the league who just knows how to develop. So, Derek Meadows, a big-time addition for him. I think that this, you know, if Cortez sees something in him, and obviously a lot of people do too, being a five-star, I mean, sky's the limit for that young man.
And then the negative part, Jabari Antoine announces he's going to Miami of Florida over LSU. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of give and take. Everybody had a little bit different opinion. But I think by Saturday, a lot of people thought the lean was certainly on the Hurricanes on this part. And this is now consecutive years. LSU has not been able to sign the top cornerback in the state of Louisiana in a position that at one time you were dominant at. Ain't the case anymore. It's all about receiver and what you're doing at quarterback, to be honest. And
Mike,
offensive line.
You haven't brought in the top DB in your state in the last 4 years. And, you know, like, I people will say, well, hey, we got DJ Pickett. 100% agree. You did. I'm not 1,000% sold that the kid's a corner. Okay, me personally. I mean, Mike, you watch his high school film. His hit safety. Like, the kid's not on the boundary. And regardless of where DJ Pickett plays, like, you could have had another kid in that room, in the DB room just in general, that can play, which, by the way, JV and Toviano had an issue this past weekend.
That's right.
So, again, you're talking about a unit. Mike, I don't want to say throw whatever at the wall and see what sticks. I don't think you should say that about any top 50 prospect. Going after a top 50 prospect, you can't tell me, he's top DB, but, you know, is he a safety? Is he a corner? I don't care about any of that. And so, Mike, you're getting to a place where, yes, DJ Pickett is fantastic. Cannot say that enough. You need probably three more corners because J.K. Johnson's probably going to be gone at the end of the year. You have Gilbert, who played some slot during the spring, who's going to be gone at the end of the year more than likely. I mean, you do have things you have to replace, and you need some guys that can play corner. And so, yes, DJ Pickett is fantastic. Can't say it enough. But, Mike, in December, maybe this kid can sign, and you flip him, no telling what happens. But if Miami does what I think that they're going to do, Mike, this upcoming year, I think Miami's a playoff team. I do. And I know people say what they say about Cristobal. I'm just really high on Cam Ward. I'm really high on that offensive line that they have. They bring in Damian Martinez at running back over there. So, I mean, Miami's – I don't think that they're going to slow down over there. So, look, you got a long way to flip him. But, you know, Mike, I just think that there was some disconnection there, and they just couldn't make up for it in time. So we'll see what happens. You know, going forward, but is the kid going to decommit for a second time and then flip back? I mean, that sometimes, Mike, those things just don't go in your way.
No, they don't. And I agree with you 100% on Cam Ward. I saw him at Incarnate Word, man, and he was sort of a tilt-the-field guy. Didn't work out quite as well at Washington State like he wanted. Now he's at Miami of Florida. Man, he's the guy that's going to hit a lot of pressure points for you on defense. He's going to put you in a big bind there. A thing with Javion, and again, the court system will figure this out, and Brian will do his punishment on it. But it's just another guy that you were sort of counting on somewhere in that secondary that won't be there, you can say, for the early part of the season, at least.
Yeah, I mean, and again, Mike, you're going to have to rely on these young guys, unfortunately. You know, I hate to say it, but, I mean, you haven't seen anything from J.K. Johnson. You haven't seen anything from P.J. Woodland in the game. You haven't seen anything from Michael Turner, which, Mike, by the way, they moved him. They didn't have a choice, and they don't have a choice. So I understand, like, what BK said at Messy Media Days. Like, hey, I think we're better on defense from a personnel standpoint than some people are giving us credit for. I agree with you there. Not as corner. Mike, they literally, okay, didn't go and get a corner out of the portal, which they said, okay, well, we think we're fine there. Now you're looking, Mike, I don't care if Jesus Christ Almighty was coming in as a true freshman. Experience is experience in this league. And so I'm concerned. Like, I'm being honest. I'm very concerned about that position. And it's not that I don't think P.J. Woodland can't play. I think he can play. The problem is, Mike, on a double move against Alabama and Kalen DeBoer, then what? Because it's not like he can't scheme something up. Those are the issues that I have, because I do think that you are going to be better at other areas. Mike, I watched the Alabama game as an example this past weekend. We go through our breakdowns of each game LSU has. Braden Swenson had 3 pressures in the sack and played 5 plays. Like, those things you can figure out. I think the kid can play a little bit. But the problem is that you've had issues at corner, and I don't think that you've resolved them. And JV and Toviano in this incident, Mike, it doesn't help you whatsoever. So now you're going to have to rely on another young freshman to come in and step up, which is just – it's kind of crazy.
One of the guys that I was told by a couple of LSU players to watch, Deshaun Womack, and we saw a little bit of him last year in a few games where he showed that edge pressure. I heard Kelly talk about, you know, you got to know what you're doing on every down, so I get it. It's not part of the time. It's all of the time. You got to understand your responsibilities and where you're supposed to be. I do think what might help a little with the secondary is if you can get a pass rush and Womack becomes part of it, Perkins becomes also on the other side. Again, that's not helping the corners, but if you can get a pass rush, man, you know, that'll help out your secondary some. But Womack was a guy at the Pro Football Camp. A couple of LSU guys brought up to me, hey, watch him. And they like the development of Savion. He's leaner today than he was a year ago, and they think this – I'll put it to you this way. Other than Greg Penn III, the one guy I get more phone calls about from NFL people, scouts-wise, is Savion.
I mean, Mike, he's got the body for it. I think this spring, as an example, versus what we saw last year, I agree. I mean, you could tell he was leaner. They had to move him inside because of depth issues. So, Mike, I don't really know if we got to see under Baker, like, what his full capabilities could be, but I agree. I mean, the kid's got the ability to do what he needs to do. Mike, last year you were 40th in team sacks. By the way, you rushed for like 95% of the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what happens when you send a little bit of pressure? So that there are things I think that they can do. I don't think the D-line from a pass pro standpoint played as bad as people thought that they did. I mean, again, rushing forward, that's not gonna play well, but you actually weren't that bad there. They got some ability there, Mike. I agree.
And real quick, Blake, before we let you run, I just hearing you talk about the cornerback room, it made me think of when we were talking with Pete Jenkins, and he was talking about the talent on the defensive side of the football and how it was so devoid, right? And for this upcoming year, he's like, yeah, maybe they have like one SEC corner there. And that's not even mentioning the defensive line, which we've talked about with you ad nauseum, dating back to spring ball and how you mentioned how they just got mauled up front. And that it's a huge kind of issue there, obviously. But if you're looking at this defense for this upcoming year, right, like last year was rock bottom. And so they go out and make all these new defensive hires. And we've agreed that the hires are all really solid and some even great, right? Like I'm looking at Blake Baker and Bo Davis, obviously, as two guys that you expect to have an immediate impact. But you still need to have the horses. And it's just a question of if LSU has enough horses to be at least mediocre. So my question to you, Blake, is what does success look like for this defense in 2024? Because we know how bad they were last year, and you can only go up, right? But what does success look like?
I hope so.
I mean, you would hope so, But at the same time, like, you have the expectation that they'll be at least a little bit better than they were last year. But what does that success look like for LSU to kind of reach their ceiling as a team? Because you know the offense is still going to be good. It's just a matter of the defense can be at least average.
I think go full Texas. Let me explain what I mean by that. Now, I don't think that you have the dudes on the defensive line that Texas did a year ago. But think about this. Texas was 113th in the country last year in passing yards allowed. LSU was 114th. Okay, but it got disguised. Why? Because of how they, like Mike said just a minute ago, I think you got to get after the quarterback, man. You know, with the new College Football 25 game out, I am not going to send four people. Blake Ruffino's sending the house, okay? I am not going to let nobody get off on me. Now, I don't know how Baker does all that. Well, you know, we'll see. You've got to send heat in this league, man. You've got to send the heat. I mean, even if Harold Perkins isn't getting there every time, I mean, you just can't have him out in the flat like you did all the time like you did last year, too. So I think there's so many different – I think you've got – Harold Perkins is a dude. We know that he's a dude. Utilize him as being a dude. So, look, I do think that there's some young guys that you're just going to have to pray to God that they get, you know, up to date. But I think that you go full Texas like last year. Texas would send the heat on everybody and say, hey, man, we got two freshman safeties out there. Have at it. And they did, Derek Williams and Muhammad. So maybe that – I mean, that's the only thing that I can think. I don't – unless somebody comes out of the woodwork and we have no idea that, and they didn't show us in the spring. I mean, guys, y'all saw the spring game. I mean, this is the craziest thing that I tell fans every single night that they ask me about the DB room. What do you think that we were seeing at practice? If you thought the spring game was bad, what do you think Jaden was doing during last fall when I'm like, hey, man, I put $100 on Jaden winning the Heisman plus 4,000. I mean, like, so I just, again, you got to send the heat. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the only thing I can think of at the current moment.
I agree 100%. And the one thing with Texas last year, they had those two dudes in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat. Ooh, they give you trouble. Man, they were blowing. They blew that pocket up, and, man, that was no launch pad for quarterbacks when they got after it. Blake, thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate it, buddy.
Yep, see y'all next time. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks, all righty. Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network, covering the LSU Tigers.